Man, I am excited today because we have a friend with us today, Pastor Jory. Some of you may remember in January we had a prophetic night here. Pastor Jory was part of that team. And so Pastor Jory served many years. He and April have served as senior pastors, but currently he serves as pastor over TFAC, which is a network of churches that we're a part of and that Jen and I get to help with. Sometimes I get to travel some with Pastor Jory, and that's always a blessing for me. And so I wanted him to preach. I wanted you to hear him. And so I was talking to him. I said, hey, could we find a date this year? And so he travels a lot. So it took a little work, but we found a date. And so he and April are with us this weekend. It's such a blessing to have them. He has a good word for you. So we give a warm Pastor Pathway welcome to Pastor Jory Buckenhall, everybody.
Well, good morning, Pathway. How are you? Good. Marty's right. Y'all look good. Y'all look good. I'm just honored to be here with you today. Thank you, Pastor Marty, for inviting me. Glad we got something on the calendar. Thanks to Pastor Marty and Jenna for hosting us and the Pathway team. You guys have a fantastic team here. And he was mentioning being able to help out with TFAC, and I just want to say this to you, to your elders and your leadership. Thank you for lending your pastor to us from time to time. One of the things that I've been able to see about your pastor is he does have an apostolic anointing on his life. And so just like he is receiving help from other TFAC pastors that are already where you guys want to go, he's able to help other churches that are wanting to be where Pathway's at right now. And so, I mean, we traveled down to Chihuahua, Mexico last year and got to help out a church down there. And we've been into Alabama and some different places. And the reach of this church isn't just hitting Longview in this area. It's going beyond that. And so thank you guys so much for having the grace to allow your pastor to do that, because it's very profound. Before I jump into the message today, I was praying and just kind of preparing yesterday morning just for the weekend, and I felt like the Lord gave me a word for y'all's church. And as Pastor Marty was just saying, you guys have made the decision as your elders and your leadership. It's like now's the time for us to go ahead and complete the building project that we've begun. And ironically, I have personally been reading through the book of Nehemiah just in my personal study time and my prayer time. And yesterday I was reading Nehemiah chapter 3. And the Lord kind of gave me this word, and I just journaled it down, and I want to read it to you today for you guys. And if you know anything about the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah and the children of Israel through Ezra's leadership and then Nehemiah's leadership, God is bringing them back to the land of Israel, specifically Jerusalem, and rebuilding the city and bringing the captives home out of judgment. And as this is happening, Nehemiah comes in his specific role. The assignment that he had been given was to rebuild the walls. And the cool thing about chapter 3, it's just kind of this list. And sometimes in the Bible, you just get these lists. But there was something I just saw in this list that I felt like God kind of spoke. And as you're reading this list, what you see is just these different clans, right? These, you can think of them like life groups for us, but these different family clans that just began to take responsibility for the wall that was in front of them. As they lived in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem, but you just see these names that are listed, and it's like they begin to build this section and they begin to build this section. And so I just want to read a small excerpt of this, and I want to share this word with you. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it, set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. The sons of Hasaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Merimoth and the sons of Uriah, the sons of Hekoth, they begin to repair their area. So you kind of get the feel. It's like there's these different clans within the people of Israel that are rebuilding the walls. Then you get to verse 5, and it says this, and next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their lords. Now, in the Hebrew, this is kind of a difficult passage or sentence to translate. But as I kind of read through it, one of the things that I saw is that word stoop, it means to bend the neck like that. And what you see is there's this clan, the Tekoites, their people begin to build their wall, but their leaders in that clan, they refuse to submit to Nehemiah's leadership. I think that's significant because there was an opposition that was coming against this project in Jerusalem. And I don't know if they intended or whatever, but these Israelites begin to align themselves with the opposition. This is what I know about building projects as a pastor. I've been in them. I know you guys have been in them. And one of the things I know about building projects is the enemy attacks building projects like nothing else. But likewise, God uses building projects to test the faith of his people like nothing else. And so you guys are getting into an endeavor to where there is going to be some opposition. I don't know what that looks like, but believe that God is going to give you guys the ability. And as I was kind of thinking through this, this is what I wrote down, and this is what I felt like the Lord said to you, Pathway Church. Pathway Church, as you enter into the next phase of your building project, commit to walk through it with a flexible neck. Trust God and trust your leadership in this endeavor and refuse to align yourself with the opposition and miss your opportunity to build the house of the Lord. So Father, I just pray for this house. And I pray, God, as there's excitement to say, okay, let's finish this project. God, I just pray that you would begin to build their faith. Lord, whatever the opposition looks like, God, we're trusting that you're going to give us everything that we need for life and godliness in this building campaign. That, Father, as we begin to have a flexible neck and we hear the word of the Lord and hear the leadership in the house, Lord, that we would coalesce behind their leadership and come behind them and that we would take the hill. That we would finish the campaign, that we would do what we set to do in the beginning. And I pray, Father, that as the people unite, God, that you would honor that unity, that you would pour out your spirit, that you would bring revival, God, that you would begin to bring people to the Lord, and that, Lord, you would begin to provide financially for everything that they need in Jesus' name. If you agree with that word, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. Excited for you guys. I'm excited for what God does. And so let me shift gears here, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8. Okay, and so that didn't have anything to do with my message. I want to talk to you about names. And so let me just, if I didn't get to meet you, my name is Jory Buckenall. I have a weird name. I know that. I've been with it all my life. And I just have this, one of those names, it's hard to spell my name. People rarely get it on the first try. Hi, my name's Jory. Joni? No, that's not Joni. It's not Jury. It's not Joy. It's not, you know, all the different things. And if there's anybody in the room, y'all just make me feel a little bit better about myself. If you have a name that's hard to say or hard to spell, where are you at? you know what you're going through, right? First day of school, teachers get to the B's, and they would typically take roll whenever I was growing up, and they would kind of fumble over the bucka. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Here I am. And there was this funny story whenever I went into ministry, went to work for a guy. I pastored in Dumas, Texas for many years. If you've been driven up 287 to Colorado, you probably drove through Dumas, the home of the demons. We tried to get as many of those things out as we could, but they only came out through prayer and much fasting. But whenever I went on staff at this church in Dumas, I remember the senior pastor brought me up. I was coming on as the first full-time employee that they hired besides the senior pastor. And so I was the pastor of everything. It's like groups, children, all the things. And he brought me up on the platform the first Sunday morning that we were in church. And he said, church, we've been praying for God to send us somebody. And I just want to introduce somebody to you this morning. I want to invite Jory Buckenar to come up on the platform. And so I kind of come up on the platform and I'm kind of a little bit frustrated because we know each other. He knows how to say my name. And then he goes on to say, you know, just kind of poke a little bit of fun at my name. And he said, Jory Buckenar, I'm so glad you're coming on our team because all we can afford to pay you is a Buckenar. if I'm honest with you, it's like that just kind of hit something in my soul that I've been carrying from my child because it's like having a strange name. It's like I just always kind of struggled with that growing up. It's like, Mom, Dad, what? Why? What were y'all thinking? It's like, what is all this? And people always ask me, it's like, what does your name mean? And so a couple years ago, I was actually at a men's retreat and I was getting to know a guy. We had kind of been real friendly. And so we had some time to spend together. And he was just asking me about my name. He's like, hey, what does your name mean? And I was like, honestly, man, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I kind of have a little bit, but I've not really dug into it much. And he just kind of shared with me. He's like, I just really feel like maybe the Lord wants you to dig into that a little bit. And so I did. And I just kind of went home and it's like, I did a little bit of research and this is what I found. I want to share this with you and it'll transition us into the message this morning. But my name is Jory Tad Buckinaw. And as I kind of researched this, I know Jory's not a very common name at all in the United States, but it is more common in Europe, Jory. And it's actually an abbreviation for Jordan. And so this is what I found my name means. Jory means God is my light. Tad, which is an abbreviation for Thaddeus, okay, one of the disciples, means a courageous heart. And Buckinaw is German, in case you were wondering, means meadow of beech trees. And I just kind of sat with that before the Lord, and the Lord had me write this kind of personal identity statement for myself, just asking the Holy Spirit to kind of speak over me, how I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I believe that, and so are you. So I just asked the Lord, it's like, I don't know what my mom and dad were thinking, but what's your design in all this? And this is what I wrote down. Jory Tad Buckinaw, you are a guiding light that God has raised up to help others along the way. You are marked by inner courage, compassionate wisdom, and deeply rooted in a heritage that values resilience and growth. And that may not do anything for you, but that healed something in me. It helped me kind of lay down some confusion and some hurt and really laser focus in on who God created me to be. Here's the reality is that every single person in this room has a name, right? And your name identifies you, whether it was the name that your mom and dad gave you, the nicknames that your buddies or your friends have given you over time, or the monikers that bullies and enemies have placed on you. All of us have names that are in the room. And the reality is that those names that you're carrying, they either lift you or they limit you. Some of you have been called smart. Some of you have been called lazy. Some of you have been called leaders. Some of you have been called rebels, troublemakers. Whatever the names that you're carrying are, they have a tendency to shape us and how we perceive ourselves and how others perceive us. And so the question that I just kind of want to begin with today is, what are the names or the labels that have been spoken over your life? Do those names lift you? I want you to really consider that. They encourage you to become everything that God has called you to be, or do they limit you? Do they oppress you and press you down? And the reason this matters is because in Scripture, names are never random. Names, they speak identity, they speak calling, they speak destiny. If you think about some of the names in the Old Testament, Jacob, his name means deceiver. And you're like, thanks, mom and dad. Like, literally, they're like, hey, deceiver, come here. His name meant deceiver, and it literally shaped his life. He was a liar. He had a character flaw that name, it actually just kind of personified. He had an encounter with God at a certain point in his journey, and God changed his name to Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. Think about Abram. His name meant exalted father, which is ironic because he didn't have any kids. And he had an encounter with God, and God covenanted with him and changed his name as a marker of that covenant and encounter, and changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Simon in the New Testament, his name means he has heard. And then Jesus gives him a name, Peter, the rock, right? Whatever name that you've been given, I just want you to consider, is it lifting you today or is it limiting to you today? And this is the good news. There is a name that is above every other name in this room. Jesus. All authority, all power, all honor is due his name. And just like our names carry meaning, God's name carries weight. It carries glory and it carries purpose. And this is what I believe very firmly today. For every single person that's in this room, God is calling you to become a carrier of his name. Whatever names you walked in this room with, I just want to challenge you to think about it differently as you leave this place, that God is calling you to be a carrier of his name. And that's really what I didn't want to dig into today, because his name, there's just something about his name. And so I want to focus on the name of God. You're there in 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to meander my way through some verses, and I'm going to get there and join you here in just a second. But this is kind of the first thought that I want to give you about God's name. In the Old Testament, the name of God, it looks a lot like the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this mysterious thing. I mean, the Trinity is one of those things it'll scramble your eggs, right? It's like you can't really wrap your brain around it. But I want to try to at least scratch the surface of something. And if you kind of start thinking about who God is and just the his holiness and he's eternal, right? He's all powerful. And you look at God, here's the thing about his attributes. In Scripture, the attributes of God are an extension of his personhood. I'll give you a couple of examples. Think about God's word. It's not just a sound that comes out of the mouth of God. What we know through Scripture is that God's word actually is God. John says this in chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So God's attributes aren't just these ancillary things of who he is. They are an extension of his divinity. Another example in Scripture is God's wisdom. If you study through the book of Proverbs, you'll see Lady Wisdom, which is this metaphor of God's wisdom. And what you see about wisdom was God's wisdom was there with him in the beginning and helped him create everything. In the New Testament, Jesus stands up before men and he says, "I am the wisdom of God." God's glory, these are all attributes of the divine. God's glory actually has personification in Scripture. And one of the last ones, and this is what I want to focus on today, is his name. In the Hebrew, the name is Hashem. Now, that's not God's name, it's just the name in Hebrew. And rabbis had this kind of superstitious thing where, like, we can't say the name of Yahweh, that's who our God is. But we can, instead of saying the Yahweh, we'll say Hashem, the name. And so one of the things that I want you to see about the name is it is actually one of his attributes, and the name is God. And if you kind of look through the verses that I'm fixing to lay out for you, it kind of starts looking like the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. So here's four things that I want you to see, and I'll kind of work through these. But as we work through these, this is what I want you to get. The name of God isn't just pronounced, it's present. It's personified. It's given personhood in the Old Testament. So here's the first thing that I want you to see. The name of God is the recipient of our praise. Do you worship God's name? You're commanded to. Listen to Psalm 113, verse 2. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." See, it didn't say, "Blessed be the Lord." "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of Yahweh is to be praised." That's interesting. I mean, I have gotten some attaboys in my life, but nobody has worshiped or praised my name. We're called to worship the name of God. Now, you don't worship something that doesn't have personhood. Not only is God's name to be praised, but God's name is also a place of refuge in Scripture. Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." And not only is God's name a place, but the name of God travels. Now, I travel a lot, Pastor Marty said that, but my name doesn't travel without me. And God's name travels. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 30, verse 27. "Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger and in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of fury and his tongue is like a devouring fire." Last one, this is one of my favorites. This is where you are in 1 Kings chapter 8. Not only does the name of the Lord, is it to receive praise? Is it a place of refuge? Does it travel? But the name of the Lord dwells. The name of the Lord lives somewhere. Now, you're there in 1 Kings chapter 8. This is the story of King Solomon. You remember King David, his dad, was not allowed to build the temple, but King Solomon was. And this passage is the day that they dedicate. The construction is finished, and they're dedicating the temple. And Solomon stands in front of all of the Israelites that day, and they're having this huge worship service. They're offering sacrifices on the altar. And Solomon gets up, and he prays a prayer. And in the middle of this prayer, he quotes a promise that God gave to Moses and the children of Israel. From Deuteronomy, that one of these days I'm going to bring you into the promised land and you're going to build a house for me and my name will live there. So listen to what Solomon says in verse 28. Right in the middle of this prayer, he says, "Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Yahweh, my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall dwell there. That you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers towards this place." As you see that, the thing that I'm wanting you to just consider humbly, I'm just putting this before you, is God's name carries his personhood. And if you kind of start looking at this, it's to be praised. His name is to, you know, it dwells somewhere. It's a place of refuge. Whenever you start looking at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, it's like, man, these things kind of look similar. In the Old Testament, the name comes from afar as a burning fire. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out on Pentecost and comes as tongues of fire and rests on the disciples' head. In the Old Testament, the name dwells in the temple. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells where? In you and I. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. He resides somewhere. In the Old Testament, the name acts as a protector or refuge for the people of God. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit seals and guards the believer for the day of salvation. See, this is what I believe. God is calling you to become a carrier of his name. But you're not just carrying some syllables around. You're not just carrying some letters around. You're carrying the very presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that we carry everywhere that we go with us. And one of the things that I have high conviction on is if I'm going to do that well, if you're going to become a carrier of God and I'm going to become a carrier of God, we have to reconsider the third commandment. I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 20. Y'all remember the third commandment, right? Yeah, I had to look it up too. So the Ten Commandments, I'll just tell you, I'm a New Testament guy. I'm a new man guy. I'm a grace guy. I believe that God he's fulfilled the law. But one of the things I'll just tell you, these commandments still apply. God does not want you to murder people. He does not want you to steal people's stuff. It's like these commandments are eternal, okay? This is the culture of the kingdom, by the way. And whenever I look at the Ten Commandments, the way I kind of look at these, this is just the way my brain works and the way it was taught to me, was the first four commandments were vertical commandments. They're how we relate to God in a right way, right? And the last six commandments are horizontal commandments. They're how we live with each other as neighbors in godly community. Don't steal each other's stuff. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery, right? It's like you do these commandments well, you begin to develop godly community. So as you're thinking through that, one of the things that I want to do is just kind of read through the first three commandments so that we can reconsider the third commandment. And as we do this, this is what I want you to do. I know you've all heard this before, this commandment before, but I want you to come at it with a fresh perspective. If we're going to reconsider it, you know the word in the Greek for reconsider, right, is to repent. If we're going to rethink this, if we're going to look at it with fresh eyes, I want you to just kind of take off some old ways of looking at this because I want to submit to you a new way. Okay, so this is the first three commandments. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. "And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." First commandment. By the way, that commandment still applies. There is no other God except God. He is the only way. He is the only truth. And he is the only way to receive life. Verse 4, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number two. That was a mouthful. Don't make idols. Do not bow down and worship carved images. And then verse 7 is the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, I don't know what you were taught growing up, but what I was taught growing up is this commandment says, don't cuss. And you better not use God's name when you cuss, or it's real bad. You'll make God real mad. And what I want to just submit to you today is, yes, that's true. This command is saying, hey, honor God's name. Don't hold it loosely. But I think it's saying something way bigger than just don't cuss. Okay, so if we're going to unlock kind of the meaning of what God is commanding, is this is not a suggestion, this is a command. There's two words that I want to zero in on, drill down into, so that we get the understanding of what God is trying to say as he's giving this command to Moses and to Israel and to me and you today. The first word is to take. In the Hebrew, that word to take means to lift up or to carry. A good kind of mental picture is, you know, in Leviticus, and as the Levites were kind of getting some instruction on how they were supposed to handle the instruments in the tabernacle and then eventually in the temple, they had the Ark of the Covenant. And the Levites were specifically the only ones that were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant around whenever Moses and the children of Israel moved through the wilderness wanderings. And they were supposed to take these poles and slide them through the fixtures and take up on their shoulders, literally to take. That's what that word means. And to carry. Okay? And so I don't know what your thought is about don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, but that's the Hebrew word that's being mentioned. If you kind of studied it in the concordance throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you would see a lot of the Levites taking the Ark of the Covenant, which was that housed the very presence of God, and carrying it around, okay? The second word that I want you to see is vain. Now, I don't use vain every day in my regular vocabulary, so I had to look it up. And in the Hebrew, this word vain, that's translated vain, means with emptiness or worthlessness. It's to take something that should be exalted and make it lower. Okay? And so as you're thinking through the illustration that I was using with the Levites, they're taking up and they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all remember the story of Uzzah? Y'all remember that one in the Old Testament? It's in King David's day. They had gone to war with the Philistines and they had lost the war because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord. And so he delivered them into the hand of their enemy, which happened over, this cycle happened over and over and over again. And in the midst of that battle, the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant, took it back to their land, and all these plagues started breaking out. And they're like, get this thing out of here. And so they put it on a cart and sent it back to Israel. And so they see the cart coming up the road and they're like, hey, it's the Ark. And so King David is like, let's take it back to Jerusalem. And here's the thing, I told you, the Levites were commanded, they were the only ones that were supposed to carry this thing, but they left it on this ark, or I'm sorry, on this cart. And so this oxen and a cart were carrying the Ark of God, and they're rolling it up the road, and eventually they hit a bump, and it kind of teeters and totters, and Uzzah, one of the Levites who should have been carrying the thing, he lifted up his hand, and he touched the ark to keep it from falling over, and immediately he died. Now, we can sit here and go, man, that was mean of God and all the different things. But listen, here's the thing that you need to understand as God is outlining this for the children of Israel of how they were supposed to interact with him, to interact with the very presence of the holiest thing in the entire universe. That in order to interact with God's presence, it required consecration, reverence, and obedience. And the Levites that day were like, they pushed all that stuff to the side and they were allowing an ox to do what was only intended for them to do. And so the thing that I want you to see is the third commandment, that illustration of these Levites is really what God is kind of trying to reveal to me and you. If I was going to restate the third commandment, this is what I would say. You shall not carry the name of the Lord your God poorly. Well, what does that look like on a day-to-day basis for you? Well, I can just tell you two things that come to my mind. The first one is to misrepresent his character. I'll give you this illustration. This kind of made a really big impact on me as a teenager. But whenever I was in high school, I played varsity football, and I can remember the first game day that we got our game jerseys. Okay, first game of the season. I remember we were excited. It was like 9:30 in the morning. We got out of class early. Pep rally was fixing to happen. We all go in the locker room, and coach is handing out jerseys, and we get our game jerseys. Everybody's excited. Yeah, we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to win, and we're going to do all the things. And I remember coach came in, and he was very serious. I mean, just an imposing figure. I mean, like most coaches are, right? And I can remember he came in and was like, okay, guys, listen, be quiet, sit down. And I want y'all to listen to me. It's like, these are your game jerseys. It's an honor to get to wear these. You guys get to wear these all day long today. And we were like, yeah, I get to wear my jersey. We're about to go in the pep rally. I want you guys to have a good time. And then you guys are going to go to class today. And I want y'all to listen. I want y'all to do me a favor. Today, whenever you're in class, I want you to be on your best behavior. I want you to be the best student in the class. I want you to work hard. And whenever your teacher asks things of you, I want you to give your teachers respect. I want you to interact with your peers in such a way that whenever something is being done in class, I want you to lead in the right direction. Be an example to your classmates. Interact with your classmates in a respectable way. And whenever you leave this campus and you go to lunch today and you go to restaurants, I want you to go into those restaurants and I want you to be an ideal customer. I want you to respect those businesses that you go in so much so that whenever I go eat at those restaurants, they brag on my team whenever I show up. Because listen, whenever you wear this jersey, you're not just representing yourself, you're representing our team and you're representing our school. I don't know about you, man, but whenever I was in that moment, I was like, yes, sir. I mean, it's like that made an impact on me as a kid. And listen, if you're here today and you call yourself a follower of Jesus, but you do not represent his character around your friends and around your workplace, it confuses people. What does it look like to not carry God's name well, to carry it poorly? It looks like that our character is incongruent with the character of God. Now listen, you've messed up in this and so have I. This is not, I'm not trying to make you feel small or guilty or shamed, but listen, this is what it looks like. This is what this command is all about. When you carry the name of God, do not do so in vain, with low weight. Exalt the name of the Lord, and it should impact how you walk through your life, the integrity that you have, the character that you put on in display, who you are as a husband, who you are as a wife. The second way that I think that this kind of impacts our day-to-day life, what it means to be a poor carrier of the name of God is to bring God empty worship. That word vain means to bring something empty or of low worth. I don't know if you've done this, but I know I have. It's like I get up in the morning and I have a prayer time, and there's a lot of times that I open my Bible and I read through the page and I say the words and I get up and I'm like, bye, Jesus, I'll see you later, and I move on. Or I'm here in worship service and I'm just kind of having one of those days where everything's just kind of funky. It's like, man, I don't really want to be here today. I'm just ready to go watch football and pray for the Cowboys and all the stuff. And I'm reading the words on the screen and we're worshiping and I'm not really bringing a sacrifice of praise. Listen, what it means to carry God's name poorly means that we don't give him what he's due. And listen, we're called to give God our best. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. That whenever God's presence is in the room, that we are engaging with his presence in an honorable, respectful, holy way. See, this is the thing that I believe is God is calling every single one of you here today, including myself, to become a carrier of his name. And if we're going to do that well, we've got to reconsider the third commandment and go, you know what? Am I showing up for that calling? I'll read you a couple statistics. Read a couple studies, and one of the statistics that stood out to me, it says only about 25% of U.S. adults report a clear sense of purpose in their life. I don't know if you got that. 75% of your friends and neighbors do not have a clear sense of why they're here on this planet. Young adults especially are at risk. A 2022 Harvard Graduate School of Education survey found that nearly 3 in 5 young adults, that's almost 60% of young adults, felt their lives lacked meaning or purpose in the previous month. Many reported that this feeling of emptiness strongly contributed to anxiety and depression. What this means is the vast majority of Americans do not have a clear sense of their purpose or their calling by God. I said this earlier, I believe that you were created, that God, there was just this honor and this love that God did whenever you were being knit together in your mother's womb. Do you know what your purpose is? Purpose is one of those things we talk about a lot. It's like, it really does matter. Even Pastor Marty was talking about next steps one or whatever step one is you guys are doing next week, and you can go find out your purpose. Listen, this is something that our society struggles with. Did you know that God made you? And I think that a lot of people, your friends and your neighbors, they have this innate knowing. It's like, yeah, I think so, but I don't really know what that is. Listen, as I've pastored for a long time, and you guys have pastored for a long time, it's like this topic of purpose, it's at the front of a lot of people's minds. And sometimes, I'll just be honest with you, I think we make this too hard. What is my purpose? I don't know how you woke up this morning, if you're a doctor or a nurse, if you're a teacher, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a pastor. But your purpose has way more to do within your life than it does your career. Your career is important, and you should ask God what he wants you to do with your life. But listen to me, your divine purpose, the calling that God has on your life, is about way more than just your career. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Listen, and whatever you do, doesn't matter if you're a student, if you're at the peak of your career, if you're retired, if you're unemployed, whatever it is that you find yourself doing right now, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when you woke up this morning, listen, you had a calling. And what I'm just trying to submit to you today is it's more than your career to get up and go do a good job every day. Your calling is to be a carrier of God's name. And his name, if you look throughout scripture, is his very presence. It's the Spirit of God living inside of you. You get to be like a Levite carrying that presence with you wherever you go, the supermarket, to class, to work, to family dinner, to a date night with your spouse. You are a carrier of the presence of God. Are you showing up for that? There's a lot of days whenever I find myself not taking that seriously, like, man, I get a day off of being a Christian. I'm just going to kind of go do what I want to do today. And listen, that's not in the script. We're called to walk as people of representatives of Jesus Christ, as ambassadors of our faith, and carry God's name everywhere that we go. Are you showing up for that? So in closing, this is what I want to do. I want to go back to where we started. And that was this. I told you, everybody in this room has a name. Those names either lift us or they limit us. And I don't know what name you carried into this room, but what I'm asking you to do is to carry a different name out of this room, and that is the name of Jesus. The good news is whatever name you came in here with, is there is a name that is above all of the names that we're carrying right now. All authority, all honor, all worship is due to the name of Jesus. And the uncomprehensible honor that we have is to carry his very presence around in us. He has the name that heals every wound that you carry today. He has the name that redeems and rewrites your story, whatever that story is. He has the name that doesn't just label you, but lives inside of you. And the question today isn't what names you've carried into the room. The question really is, what name are you going to carry forward from this moment? So as we do this, I just want to pray. And so if you would just bow your head, and I want to ask you to have a moment with the Lord. And Jesus, as we enter this moment, I just call upon your name. We acknowledge that the name of Jesus is above every name that's been placed on people in this room. And Jesus, we just tell you there's something about your name. As we call on the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God begins to fill the space. We acknowledge today, God, that your name is not just pronounced, it's present in this room. We honor it. We honor you, King Jesus. As you're sitting there, I just want to ask you to pray this prayer. Open your heart and listen to what the Father would speak over you today. I want you to pray this prayer. Father, is there any name that I'm carrying today that you don't want me to carry anymore? Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. Just ask that you begin to identify whether it's names you've been given or labels that have been placed on you. The Lord is here today to lift that off of you, and you don't have to carry it anymore. As the Lord just speaks that to you, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. If God has shown you something that you're carrying that he wants you to lay down, I want you to pray this out loud. I renounce the names that my Father doesn't want me to carry anymore. And I refuse to carry them any further. Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you would begin to break off the labels, that you would break the chains. Those names that have limited the people of God, we command them to be loosed, that the sky is the limit. Father, I'm asking that you would place your name inside of your people, that the presence of God would begin to fill us. And our commitment, God, is that we would carry that name well. I'm asking, Jesus, that you would lend us your Spirit to show us how to honor your name and do this in such a way that we put your character on display and that we honor you and we give you worth and fame. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you were encouraged, built up, and strengthened by the Word of God today. I again want to encourage you, go ahead and click subscribe while you're here and you'll be notified of content as soon as it drops, because we want to encourage you as much as you'll let us. And if you would, comment and share, because we want the people who need the message of Jesus to hear the message of Jesus. And if you're in Longview, Texas, or if you're ever visiting Longview, Texas, we'd love to host you at Pathway Church. So please come see us. Hey, I believe, again, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it is good. And we can't wait to see all that God does through your life.